She's April.
And she's Molly.
Kind of. And we are...
The Book Besties. Did you see Robert Irwin?
Go fake it. You have to be her mom soon. Go fucking fake it.
You are a heathen.
Facts with Aunt Molly.
Like, it was a cloudy day, the whole book. So I'm going to start with a trigger warning, folks. We haven't actually done one of those for a while, but this book is about a woman who is going to commit suicide. Like, that's the plan from the beginning. And so there's a lot of talk of suicide, including planning a suicide, and there is a suicide attempt. If any of that is triggering for you, or if you're somebody like me that suffers from anxiety, or you have depression, mental health illness, we are fine with you skipping episodes. We want to protect your mental health.
I got called Kaylee all day yesterday, actually.
I feel like that's appropriate.
If you didn't see my posts, or you didn't see any of the TikToks I posted in the last couple of weeks, which those are hilarious. I cannot wait for April to see them when I post them. But I was at Annapolis Awesome Con in DC this weekend. I won Awesome Con. I won free tickets through VetTix, which I will put in the diddly-doos. So if anybody for those that don't know it, VetTix is a program that allows people, companies, whatever, to donate tickets for events, NASCAR, NFL, theater, all of the fucking
Disney
things. Like Disney. I've seen tickets for Little Shop of Horror on Broadway right now, this week on there. Like, it is huge. It's okay. Crazy. So VetTix is amazing. And what it is it's free tickets for veterans. And all you have to do after you apply for this is it's a lottery system. They randomize it. And when you win, you pay the processing fee. That's it. So I got us prime tickets for Saturday's Awesome Con for $15 for four of us.
That's incredible.
Those things are fucking expensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Convention tickets are expensive. So we met all the Kaylees. Like, we were, that was like our big thing is like every, like we were, hi Kaylee. Hi Kaylee. It wasn't hi Barbie. It was hi Kaylee all day. 16 Kaylees in total, friends. 16 Kaylees. All shapes and sizes. Different prints, fonts. One was even in the fancy dress.
I saw. Your picture was awesome. Tom has been to Awesome Con and he met Joel State there. Also decided that she is his number one, and I told him I was okay with that.
I mean, Jewel probably made him feel very special. I was stopped by Amando, who told me he was sad he didn't wear his Jewel Kaylee costume because he felt like he was missing out today, but he had to dress as Mando because it was part of his cruise. There was so many Mandalorians there. They were doing a TikTok and they had them lined up on have you been to a convention for friends? It's like this big ass room, okay? And it's just rows of shit. And it is. It's shit. People are selling crafts, books, whatever, right? And this line of Mandos goes from the 400s to the 2500s. And it's just them stepping in front of the camera, stepping aside, stepping in. next. So, the funniest the weirdest thing I got there was a glue stick. It was a gift because I gave someone a sticker because that's kind of what conventions are. You give someone something, they give you something. But guess who gave me the glue stick?
Why a glue stick?
Because it was the DC Public Library. They had school supplies to hand out. So they had full-size thick glue sticks, pencils, pens. They were giving away t-shirts. If you had your library card and could show your library card, they had t-shirts and bags for you. How freaking cool is that?
That's awesome.
Like, oh, we got in a really big conversation about what's been going on, though.
Yeah, I have a lot of feelings about what's been happening.
They did, too.
I had a really rough week this past week because, you know, we film ahead. So,
yeah, this past week was rough. Oh, I want to show you one more thing. But okay, first, before I show you guys this, this is a wood prop. This is not a real item. It's a bullet. It says Big Damn Heroes. And when she gave it to me, I go, ain't we just? And everybody just stopped and looked at me and was like, am I not allowed to say that? Because I dress like a Kaylee?
I need to rewatch Firefly.
Matt also told me I made Darth Vader uncomfortable yesterday. So that was fun.
Well, challenge accepted. So the IMLS staff have been laid off. And so if you don't know what that is, it's the Institute of Museum and Library Services. And this is the federal funding for libraries. But it's really hard for me in general right now to see things being defunded like education and libraries because that is my life. I'm not a school librarian anymore, but I'm still an educator. I'm still a certified teacher. The IMLS does not really directly fund local libraries. So if you have a library card, and if you don't, you absolutely should. But they don't fund libraries directly. Libraries are funded at the community, city, town, county level, depending on how your system is set up. Mm-hmm. My system is a regional system, so we have several municipalities that fund it. However, the IMLS does provide grants for other services. So in the state of Virginia, where I am, they provide the money that allows the Library of Virginia to provide free access to research databases for anyone in the state that has a library card or is in K-12 school, because the schools get access for free as well through this. So all of those research databases could potentially go away. And in my library, Libby and Hoopla are not funded that way, but I do know that there are other libraries that is how Libby and Hoopla are funded, because they are expensive services. And here is my issue with this. I firmly believe that the reason that libraries are being targeted is because we are inclusive spaces. Now, I have said publicly many times that as far as social justice goes, I, in my personal life, believe social justice. I will 100% support the rights of everyone. In the library, I don't advocate for social justice policies because I feel like it alienates some of the customers. However, my profession has moved towards a social justice profession, even though I don't necessarily agree with that. But what is happening right now is libraries are being targeted because there are grants that libraries have applied for to be more inclusive. So one of the grants that could potentially be canceled was a grant specifically to make inclusive programming. That does not mean that we are making programming to celebrate Pride, which people think that's what it is. It's not, but you should celebrate Pride. It's not that. It's programming to have people with special needs included in regular programs. How dare we? The audacity that we would provide inclusive spaces for story time.
It's
really... I feel like I'm going to cry again. I cried a lot this week about this, but
it's really frustrating because it's not just, yes, it is library services, but we're talking about taking inclusivity out of healthcare. We're talking about taking inclusivity out of workspaces. We're talking about taking out inclusivity in everyday life.
Now, in order for schools to receive federal funding, they are going to have to sign a contract saying that they will not practice DEI. Now, I read the contract because I was like, DEI is diversity, equity, and inclusion. And inclusion directly affects my family. So I read the policy, and the policy is specifically saying that you will not teach one race is better than another, which they're not fucking doing anyway, but okay.
Nobody in the school district that I've ever sent my kids to have ever said, oh, we're going to do Black History Month and remind everybody that the people that came from the African continent is better than everyone else. That has never happened.
It's not what they're doing. But I feel like in a district where I live, where they have historically for decades had issues with providing services for special needs students, it is a very slippery slope for them to say something like, well, we signed a contract saying that we wouldn't provide DEI, and that includes IEPs. And the current...
That's stressing me out.
Yeah. The current Secretary of Education doesn't know what IDEA is.
The current Secretary of Education helped run the WWE for 20 years. That is her innate claim to fame. She is a wrestling star.
The last Secretary of Education that he had ran charter schools, which are, they receive public funding, but they are private schools and they can close their doors at any time. They have no obligation to actually educate children. Anyway, I know that we are not a political podcast. I know that you and I sit on two different sides of the political aisle. And so we do occasionally debate these things, but right now,
currently, I feel like we're on the same team.
I cannot support the party that I have been a member of since I was 18. I cannot support it anymore.
I seriously feel like most people that have our views, no matter your political party right now, are all in the same team. Everyone in the world right now everyone in my globe, I don't care your political parties, but if you're physically paying attention to everything that is coming out of Washington, D.C., you're going constantly, daily. What the fuck?
Yeah. It feels very much like a toddler who's throwing a tantrum. He didn't get his way 4 years ago, so he's going to throw a tantrum and everyone's going to pay for it. And I go to a very conservative Southern Baptist church, and even in my Sunday school class, people are complaining about this. I have friends that are now having to justify not just their job, but the job of their employees because they work for the federal government.
I have a friend who is very scared. She works in D.C. I'm not going to say much because of her security clearance and whatnot.
That's fair.
One of her biggest concerns right now is going back to divided schools. Mm-hmm. She really thinks segregation is on our future and we should be scared about it.
I can understand that, but I don't think that we're going to go that route. I understand why she's feeling that way.
Hope not.
But that would be in contrast to what the Trump administration is saying they're doing, which is not putting one race over another. So who knows? But with that said, I'm off my soapbox. TikTok has been extended on a ban. It looks like Amazon might buy it. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't...
Amazon knows everything.
I know. I mean, I have a Google.
You want to see something pretty? I made a Rex Manning bracelet for this week.
Happy Rex Manning Day.
Manning Day.
Nothing can go wrong on Rex Manning.
Manning Day. I'm so excited for Rex Manning Day. It's coming up. 2 days. 2 days to Rex Manning Day.
Okay, I feel like we need to watch the movie together distantly and like text each other. But I'm not doing anything. I love that movie. I had seen it. I just got a little stoned and passed out. So,
your husband hated it, by the way.
Oh, did he? Oh, it's such a good movie.
I think he just didn't care.
And that's I am not doing anything until I finish Sunrise on the Reaping, which I started yesterday and I'm halfway through.
My God, that book. I read this book, the book for this week. I read Sunrise on the Reaping consumed my mind. I have not been able to stop thinking about Haymitch. Mm-hmm. Since I started that book. And I don't think I will until I can reread it again.
When I reached chapter 7, I had already cried 3 times. I am now halfway through the book.
Accurate.
Here's my copy. And I'm now halfway through the book in chapter...
The audiobook was beautiful. 13.
The
audiobook is...
Who's the narrator? Do you remember?
I don't know. Let me look real quick.
They re-recorded the Hunger Games audiobooks with Tatiana Maslany, because the original person that did it, in my opinion, she was too old sounding for Katniss. Like, it felt like it was decades after Mockingjay, and this was a reflection back just because of her voice. But Tatiana Maslany refilmed them, and they're phenomenal. They're really good.
His name is Jefferson White.
Got it.
He's read Small Great Things by Jodi Picoult. That's like all I'm recognizing him for right now. There's a lot of not historical fictions or historic like fiction. Non-fiction history. Oh my God, I can't talk.
It's okay. All right. So I read the book, this book that we're covering this week, which is The Wedding People by Allison Espach. I think is how you say her name. Espach. I think it's Espach.
Espach sounds right.
I read this book before reading Sunrise on the Reaping because I wanted to be on time with pod. But I have to be honest with you.
I just blew through it.
But I have to be honest with you. I wish I wouldn't have, because I don't feel like I gave this book the attention that I wanted to give it, if that makes sense.
I'm also going to be honest. I finished that book
an hour ago. Yeah. It works. So this book is everywhere. It came out last summer, and we have had such a long wait list at the library that I had to buy this. I had to break my book buying ban to buy this book.
Is it second time now?
No, this was the first time.
Okay, I couldn't remember.
Everything else has been pre-orders, except we do have Beth Revis coming on later this season to talk about her whole Chaotic Orbit series, and I did buy the first two because I had pre-ordered the third one.
I ended up buying all three. I went to her local bookstore and bought them all signed, and
they are phenomenal, and I cannot wait to talk to her about them, and because we're going to talk about the whole series, and I'm just really excited because she's been an author for a while. Like, her book Across the Universe, which I think could be her first book, I read that when it first came out when I was still a teacher in Florida.
She's such a good writer, and her brain is so I cannot wait to talk to her about her brain. Her brain is so magic.
We're not talking about God of the Woods. We're talking about The Wedding People.
The Wedding People.
And I have to say, I agree with the phenomenal brain for Allison Espach. She is a very, very thorough and clever writer.
Yes.
So can I give you a synopsis?
Please.
So I'm going to start with a trigger warning, folks. We haven't actually done one of those for a while, but this book is about a woman who is going to commit suicide. Like, that's the plan from the beginning. And so there's a lot of talk of suicide, including planning a suicide, and there is a suicide attempt. If any of that is triggering for you, or if you're somebody like me that suffers from anxiety, or you have depression, mental health illness, we are fine with you skipping episodes. We want to protect your mental health. So with that said, I'm going to give a synopsis now. So if you need to bail, we understand.
Not going to hurt our feelings.
Not at all. Phoebe Stone has finally made a concrete decision about her life after 2 years of a pandemic, her husband having an affair, and a divorce from that husband. And also the death of her beloved cat. Phoebe has decided to take a trip to the Cornwall Inn, a hotel she once saw in a magazine, located in the very wealthy Newport, Rhode Island, and kill herself. When Phoebe arrives at the Cornwall Inn, however, she discovers she is the only guest not part of the wedding week. She's not one of the wedding people, which will conclude with the wedding of Lila and Gary. Since Phoebe is not one of the wedding people and therefore knows no one, she tells the bride in a casual, matter-of-fact way that she will be killing herself that evening in her hotel room. Lila is horrified that something like this could ruin her day. So she begins info dumping on Phoebe, a tradition that will continue the entire week and lead Phoebe to becoming her maid of honor. Separately... makes sense. Separately, Phoebe meets Gary in the hotel hot tub, confesses her plan to kill herself, and that she'd like to fuck him, all before finding out that he was actually the groom. The book takes place over the course of a week and is mainly set in the inn. There's a large... Yes, 6 days. A week. Lila wants everyone to know it's only 6 days.
Sorry, I had to because she kept doing
it. She does. It was only 6 days, not a whole week. There is a large cast of characters, all of which are wealthy and unlikable in their own way. Phoebe isn't wealthy, but she's still kind of unlikable. Will Phoebe follow through on her plan? Will Lila and Gary have their happily ever after? Will Gary's sister shut her damn mouth? Will anyone be happy again? There you go. That's the synopsis.
You did a good job. No, I had to just put in that 6 days because Phoebe made, everybody made it very, she made it very clear.
Lila.
To anyone, Lila, anytime somebody said a wedding week, she's like, it's 6 days.
God forbid it would be one more. God forbid. All right. So you ready to talk about it?
Let's do it.
All right, this book has been everywhere since its release. It has a pretty long holds list at my library in all the platforms. And it won favorite fiction on Goodreads for last year. Favorite fiction.
Yeah.
It's also won a lot of other accolades. It's a Read with Jenna book, if you follow her book club. So do you feel like it lived up to the hype?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I understand where we're going with this, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I understand why everybody's talking about this book, wants to read this book. This is a book you have to process. This is a book you have to
sit with.
There's so much that goes on in this book, and it's more of an adult conversation about life and like how we see ourselves and the boxes we put ourselves in, right? And it's less about the actual story.
Yeah. And I actually told you when I finished it that I needed to sit with it for like a day before I even rated it, because I was like, I can't just rate this one. Like, the fact that you finished it like 2 hours ago and now we're talking about it is astounding to me, because I couldn't have done that.
It's my ADHD. It just lets me just keep moving. It's just keep moving. Let's go. We got shit to do. Keep going. Don't worry, I'll crash later. I crashed when I got home yesterday. Oh my God, I was a dead fucking potato yesterday.
I bet.
Anyways, moving on.
I came home from church and took like a maybe 45 minute nap while I was home by myself, because James was at retreat with youth group and Sam stayed with Tom to do the sound booth for the last service. So I came home
Sweet
and took
boy.
A So yeah, I definitely see the hype. I don't know that this book left me satisfied, which is probably part of the point. Is it my favorite book that I've read this year? Absolutely not. Is it even going to be a top for the month? Probably not, since Sunrise on the Reaping is already a 5-star for me and I'm only halfway finished. But I definitely get the hype. I get it.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and this happened with The Ministry of Time, there was so much hype behind it. And then we read it and we were like, why?
Eat shit.
Why?
Like, why force it? Why? Like, but, why hype us up so much?
But this one, I get it. Like, I get it. It's not a 5-star read for me. It's a 4. No, but
it's a 4.
It's good.
But I'm not questioning why I read this book.
I'm not either.
I'm
not either.
Like, Ministry of Time, we read it because it was hyped. We read it because we wanted to read it, because every time we saw a TikTok video about it, it's some girl ranting about how much she loves this love story, right?
Yeah. No.
And the difference between that and this is the vagueness in which everybody describes this book versus the vagueness everyone describes that book. Mm-hmm. This one, they're more realistic and honest.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Our friend Heather Bookables, actually, this is one of the books that she has one of her highest ratings on. She was just actually talking about it on her social media like a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I'd be interested to see what she says about this. I'll have a good look.
So the subject matter in this book is very heavy, to say the least. And you and I were texting about how we found it difficult to read a book that begins with a woman's plan to kill herself. So did you feel like the book kept that tone of heaviness, or was there a turning point of lightness for you?
I think she took her foot off the gas after she vomited the tuna pills. Mm-hmm. And like the hot tub was like a turning scene, I feel like. And it started getting lighter and funnier. And like,
I was laughing out loud.
I laughed out loud several times.
Yeah.
Like several times I laughed out loud because there's funny writing.
But I feel Phoebe's like
a funny character. But
oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
I feel like as a person with a mental illness, like I feel like that's the reality of our lives, right? You have these days where you're like, yep, yeah, today's the day. And then you have other days where you're like, I just love sitting and laughing and having fun and saying stupid things. And I felt like the book didn't keep that heaviness tone the whole way through. Like, I definitely feel like it was a cloudy day. Like, it was a cloudy day the whole book. Yeah. But I don't think it kept the heaviness of this is my plan. I'm going to go kill myself.
Right.
This book actually reminded me, I'm going to be super English nerdy now. There is a play called Night Mother by Marcia Norman. It's a short play. I think it's just a one act. And I took a theater class in college and I had to do a scene from it. And the play is about a mother-daughter duo who live together. And the daughter says, Night Mother, I'm going to go kill myself. But she's absolutely, like, absolutely serious.
What is wrong with me that I laughed at that?
Like, she's absolutely serious. Something wrong with me. She plans to kill herself. And her mom spends the entire play trying to talk her out of it. Mm-hmm. The play, spoiler, concludes with her daughter killing herself. She shoots herself with a shotgun. And I was worried that despite the fact that Phoebe had changed her mind, that this book would still end with her killing herself. And I felt like if that is the way it ended.
That was my concern.
Yeah.
That was my
concern. If that was the way it ended, I don't think I would have rated this book as highly because I needed the evolution of her character. Like, oh, shoot. I just realized I had a... Never mind. It's fine. I needed the evolution of her character. I needed her to heal. I don't know that she fully did heal.
She's going to need a new therapist and her life's going to be in shambles.
In 6 days, she's making some drastic changes to her life for the better.
But I think that's what she needed.
I think that.
I kind of feel this. I don't know how to explain this. And I don't know if this will translate well, but I'm going to try. Mm-hmm. When we left Texas and we came here, our family popped off. Like, we all grew in different ways and came out of our shells in different ways and became more of ourselves in different ways after leaving the confinement of Texas, if that makes sense. So I get it. I get how a place and a location can help you grow and change and see things differently.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I would say that's true of us too. You know, we moved to Virginia and settled here, and it's definitely, particularly us leaving our church last summer and going to a different church, just seeing the growth in my kids alone is,
yeah,
it was important for us to do it, even though it was a really hard decision.
Yeah. And I think that was part of it. I think the harder choice for her was to choose to live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The harder
That is the choice. She had to choose life.
And she's going to have to constantly choose life from here on out.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's always going to be a thing. But I think taking a step back from Matt, taking a step back from her life.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing that she can have a different life out there in the world, mm-hmm. away from all that stuff that ruined her.
Yeah.
Changed that for her.
I agree. When Phoebe first meets Lila, the bride, she tells her that she is not part of the wedding people, but is at the Cornwall Inn to kill herself. At first, Lila seems like this is a concern to her because she doesn't want someone to die in general, but it quickly becomes very clear that Lila doesn't want Phoebe's suicide to ruin her wedding. She actually proposes that Phoebe stay the entire week and kill herself after the wedding.
She'll pay for it.
Yeah, I'll pay for the
room. She'll pay for it.
You can just kill yourself after the wedding. So what were your thoughts on Lila's reaction to this?
When we first meet Lila, she just seems like this self-centered, my world needs to be perfect 20-something.
She's lost.
She is so lost. And I'm sure we're going to talk about who Lila is in later questions. I didn't read your questions. I am so sorry about that.
That's okay.
I feel like Lila is going through the motions because she feels like she has to go through the motions.
Yeah.
And fixing this thing is just something Lila has to do for the wedding. And I feel like the more we get to know Lila and the more we watch Lila in this book, the more we realize she is just going through the motions. She is doing what she thinks she's supposed to do, and she's going through the steps she thinks she has to do.
Right.
So when she meets Phoebe, this is just a problem she has to solve.
Right.
And that's what her brain is doing.
Right.
Oh, fuck. I have to fix this wedding. It has to be perfect. My dad gave me all this money. It has to be perfect.
Yeah.
It has to.
I definitely feel like this is the result of the pandemic and her dad dying. Like,
those two things triggered
her to get to this place where she's, and maybe she's still very self-centered, but I don't know that I wasn't in my 20s. You know,
I think we all were very self-centric in that age group. You have to be a little narcissistic at that age or you won't survive. The world is cruel in your 20s. And if you're a little narcissistic and taking care of yourself, the world will eat you alive.
Yeah.
Facts with Aunt Molly, kids. Facts with Aunt Molly.
I didn't like Lila from that moment, and I never liked her. Her growth in this didn't make me like her. I still don't like her.
I relate to Lila as a 20-something. Like, I remember being that age. I remember feeling like my world was going to fall apart if things didn't go exactly as I planned. I remember being that kid. I remember being that young. But Lila needs therapy. Lila needs therapy bad. She really misses her dad.
Yeah.
And losing her father really, really has altered her.
And her still wanting to marry Gary, who was her dad's doctor, like, that would not happen. Like, I can see how she would be turned off by that because he gave her hope and then her dad died. There's a conflict of interest there anyway that I'm sure Katie is probably, like, screaming at us right now. Like, there's no reason that...
They don't even have a real relationship.
No.
By any sense of what I would call a solid, real relationship.
No, but the fact that they were in a committed relationship that led to an engagement and to them having a wedding, that is a conflict of interest that he was treating her father. Like, he could not do that.
I feel like they were just going through the motions because they felt like this is what life needed for them to get back to normal and make things right.
And Gary admits later in the book that he was doing a lot of things just to make other people happy because he felt like he couldn't be happy ever again.
So he might as well make somebody else happy.
Right. After his first wife passed away. All right. So this book go ahead.
Who's also the sister of his best man.
I know. Yeah, I talk about that later. This book flips back to Phoebe's relationship with her ex-husband, Matt, and how their relationship started in grad school and ended with an affair that Matt had with their coworker, Mia. Did this style add to the story or take away from it?
I think I didn't like it, but I think we needed it. She didn't do it the whole time. She didn't do this going back and forth shit all the time.
Yeah, it wasn't really dual timelines.
It was like, hey, you need this history. Mm-hmm. And now that I've read the whole book, she was giving us a mirror. Matt and Phoebe are what would happen to the bride and groom if they stayed together.
Absolutely. Good call, Molly.
It is a mirror, right? She is there to be a mirror for the bride and groom, because I can't remember their names right now. For the bride,
Lila and Gary.
Right? Yes. She is there to be like, look, I was in a box relationship. Mm-hmm. We were in a box. We were doing the same things. We wore the same clothes. We did the same things. We just went through the motions. Mm-hmm. And look at where I am. I'm here at your wedding and I'm about to kill myself.
Yeah.
Take that as a warning.
Yeah.
They didn't bring it in a... Yeah.
I completely agree. I liked the inclusion, the insertion of like some of the Matt information. Yeah. Because I think we needed it to get into like the headspace that Phoebe
fucking
was in.
Matt, though. That motherfucker.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I love that his name is Matt and like your husband is Matthew. When you texted me earlier, like, and said something about like fucking Matt and I like her fucking Matt, but you said fucking Matt really threw me off. And I was like, you did. Wait, what? I was like, why did that throw you off? I thought you were talking about you and Matt.
As soon as I sent it, I was like, wait, about the book. Okay. So I'm like, I was listening to the book, and I'd been listening to the book off and on, headphones, mm-hmm. not headphones. So my Matt had heard part of this book, okay? Mm-hmm. So we're outside doing logs because we cut this fucking tree down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking tree. By the way, my husband hit me with a tree. He cut a tree down and hit me with a tree, guys.
My husband ran me over with a car once.
Yeah, see, what the fuck, guys? Men. So we're out there and I just pause and I go, he left her because she couldn't make a baby. Mm-hmm. And he goes, what cunt? Talking about the other Matt.
That is, in my opinion, why their marriage fell apart. I asked somebody that went through fertility treatment, not to the degree that they did. We went through fertility treatment for 3 years, 2.5 years, 3 years, something like that, with James. And, we never had IVF. That's not what happened. But there are a lot of marriages that fall apart like that. And first of all, it's hard to go through it. It's gut-wrenching. And I can see how it would put a strain on a marriage. It really didn't on ours. But I can see
you
how
guys
it
were
would.
A team when you went into it.
I can see how it could put a strain on marriage. But I also think that what the problem is I honestly think it's biological. Like, I feel like there's deeply ingrained in us a need to carry on the species. And
some people want that more than others.
But historically, this is actually something I was just talking to my gynecologist about because I had my IUD swapped out. Women start falling apart around our age, right? So they start getting facial hair and acne and all these things that make us less attractive. And then we stop having our periods. So we stop having our cycles. We stop being able to bear children.
Mm-hmm.
Men tend to get more distinguished as they get older. And they can actually father children well into their old age. And that is survival of the fittest, Molly. It's biological. So a man leaving a woman because she couldn't get pregnant, I am never going to justify that. But I'm going to say that is deep in our ingrained in our DNA.
Yeah. Did you?
And there were conversations that Tom and I had where I would be like, are you going to leave me because I can't have kids? And he would be like, no. But I would be like, but I would understand if you did.
Speaking of men procreating into their old age, do you see Robert De Niro has a 2-year-old?
What the fuck?
Okay.
Speaking of Robert, did you see Robert Irwin?
That is so inappropriate.
He's 21. He's 21, but I'm like, this man is a child. Like,
I remember when he was in diapers.
I know. And like the little, I can't. But he knew what he was doing.
Literally, when I saw it and I saw him just like oiled up and abs in the undies, and I was like, nope, that is not for me. You want to know why? Because I'm old enough to be his mummy.
Yes, we are old enough to be
for me.
Florida Megan sent me a post on Instagram from his account of it, and the comments were what she wanted me to look at, and I was dying. I read them to Tom. One was like, sir, my girlfriend's on this app. How dare you?
Oh, he doesn't care.
Yeah, he was thirst trapping all these cougars. Like, I'm saying.
Like, ugh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Phoebe has a clear plan for her suicide. She will eat a big meal from the room service, smoke a cigarette, drink some expensive wine, and then down all the painkillers that are tuna fish flavored from her dead cat.
But she forgot about it till it was last minute.
Right. But her plan is foiled from the start. There's no room service due to the lack of staff and the welcome reception for the wedding people. She doesn't actually like smoking. She has chocolate flavored liqueur that she got from the bride.
Chocolate wine.
Chocolate wine, excuse me. And she forgot the pills were tuna flavored. Although she initially, although she initially takes the pills, she forces herself to vomit before passing out. She has decided not to die yet. Did you think she would kill herself before the book ended?
No, I wasn't. You know, at first I wasn't sure. But the more we got to know Phoebe and the more she was living this life with others, the wedding people, living life with the wedding people.
Yeah.
The more I realized she wasn't going anywhere.
I mean,
she wants a life. She wants to be things.
I do feel like she wants
her life.
Yeah. I do feel like she healed a lot that week, but it kind of also bothers me. I'll talk about the ending in a bit because it was, I found it unsatisfactory, the ending, but I didn't think she was going to kill herself. After that happened, I did not think she would come back and kill herself.
No.
I didn't think so. I did have a moment when Matt shows back up that I was like, maybe she will. Maybe we'll get a murder-suicide.
That would be hilarious, but no. That would be a massive change in this story. All of a sudden, she's just like,
I mean, I would seriously consider cutting Tom's dick off. Mm-hmm. I would consider it.
No. Guess what? You won't ever have to, because if that happens, he will never be found again.
Mm-hmm. I believe that.
Because he would run away from home. He would run away from home.
For sure.
He would be running away from home because he's so scared of his consequences. Not that something nefarious happened to him.
Never. Never.
Nothing nefarious would ever happen because we are good Christian women.
You are a heathen.
Anyways, next question.
Lila visits Phoebe's room to check on her, so she claims, but spends the entire time complaining about the wedding and the wedding people. Lila has spent...
busting into her room?
I know. Had a key and walked in on her where she was masturbating in the bathtub.
I'm about to get fucking something! Finally!
Lila has spent $1 million on this wedding. A full $1 million. But doesn't seem to like anyone there, including her fiancé, Gary. Why do you think Lila chose to share these secrets with Phoebe when she won't even share them with her closest friends?
Because Phoebe's a safe human. She's a stranger. There are some people in this world, myself included, mm-hmm. that people just tell things to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've noticed this when I'm talking. I don't know if you've noticed this, but Matt has over the years of being with me. But strangers just brain dump on me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people just tell me their secrets and then walk away. Uh-huh. I don't know if it's my face or what, but I think it was the sanctity of a stranger. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I think it's because she still thought that Phoebe would kill herself and those secrets would die with her.
I mean, that's also true. That is also a valid response.
I really do. I feel like she was dispendable, you know?
Yeah. 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 Like it didn't matter what she told Phoebe because it's a vault. It's a void, you know? Phoebe was the void for her. It's like yelling into the woods, right?
Whereas we have a group chat that is frequently filled with reasons why we feel like we might need to stab our husbands. But we don't. That doesn't
exist. We've never stabbed
a husband. No one is allowed to see the group chat outside of the
group chat. The group chat gets destroy after reading kind of situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Late in the evening after her suicide attempt, Phoebe goes to the hotel's hot tub in only her bra and panties. which she's covered as much as a bikini. So, you know, there's that. There she meets There she meets a man that she has an incredible connection with. They are both raw and honest with each other. The conversation ends with Phoebe telling the man she wants to fuck him. I mean, that's what she says. I want to fuck you.
Yeah.
He declines because we assume he is in a relationship. What do you think of their connection? And then the follow-up question, were you surprised that the man in the hot tub was Gary the groom?
Okay, first and foremost, shout out to Matthew Biggs. He called it being the groom.
I called it. Matt, 100% knew that's what it was.
As soon as there was a dude in the hot tub. Now, Matt was already 10 minutes into this book. This is the first time Matt had listened to this book, and he goes, it's the groom. Mm-hmm. I go to my room to start folding clothes, and I was like, you're right!
I mean, Phoebe never sees him before that. No. She has no idea who he is.
But there's like a whole full circle moment in the end when they're back in the hot tub.
I know.
And it's.
Did you think they had a good connection there?
I think it was two people in the dead of night just dumping on a stranger's soul. I don't know if it was a connection or if it was just the lateness of the hour, the frankness of talking to a stranger, and the ability to use the night, right? Because what is Ted Mosby's mom says? Nothing good ever happens after 2 a.m. And it was 3 a.m. for them. So it's just, I think there was just many things that made it look like a good connection. I think these two will end up together? Probably not. I think they just need each other in this moment.
Let's hold that thought because we're going to talk more about that later.
Cool.
I was not surprised at all that Gary was the guy in the hot tub. And I don't really feel like they had a connection that I thought would be worthy of leaving his fiance. Like, Phoebe is pretty set that he's going to leave Lila and they'll be together. And during the wedding week, Phoebe gets included in the scheduled activities. The first one is the sailing trip. During the sailing trip, we meet more of the cast of characters, which includes Gary's sister Marla, Gary's best friend, who is also the brother of his late wife, Jim, and Gary's daughter, Juice. What did you think about this scene and the dynamics between the characters?
They accept Phoebe into the fold so quickly.
It's so weird.
It's like this family doesn't know each other at all. And you know, the only familiar one for all of them.
Right. The fact that Lila lies about who Phoebe is and Gary doesn't admit that he met her the night before was like so childish. It reminded me of that episode of the Gilmore Girls where Rory and Naked Guy, what's his name? Can't think of his name. Naked Guy. Anyway, he's boyfriend to one of... No. The guy that falls asleep naked and
drinks.
And then later...
In college.
Yeah.
And I was thinking later, about Kirk running around sleepwalking naked.
Then later in the series, Rory makes friends with the artsy people, and like one of them keeps referring to boyfriend as boyfriend, and they lie about knowing each other. It reminded me of that. Like, it's so childish. I mean, I guess you don't want your wife's friend to like, you don't want your future wife to know that your friend offered to fuck you.
Marty was Naked Guy, and Marty definitely like. But that was on Marty, right?
Rory could have been honest about it, but Logan kind of fucked it up.
Rory didn't want to make Marty feel uncomfortable, and Rory's not a person to stand up and make noise unless she absolutely has to. So, back to the boat. I want to talk about the dog funeral.
Yeah.
Because... why is the only person on that boat that can be compassionate, loving, and kind to an 11-year-old is the stranger? Why was the stranger the only person that saw an 11-year-old hurting, and her father, her aunt, her uncle, her future mom were all there, and not any of them were like, hey, let's do this, baby. I hear your pain. Nobody's like, everybody treated her like she was silly. And
the way that Lila treated her was deplorable. It was disgusting. Mm. Just in general, the way she treated Juice. Like, she's not an accessory you can get rid of. That's his child.
Yeah. I was a kid that felt like I got ignored a lot. Mm-hmm. That's just my personal beliefs. This isn't me trying to argue with the grown-ups in my life. You know who you are. I just felt like I was a kid that got ignored a lot. So for this to happen, it's like one kid that got ignored a lot because Phoebe wasn't really paid attention to, right? Her dad was depressed. So Phoebe was just another kid that was like her and was like, somebody needs to pay attention to you.
Well, and I also feel like Lila is so inconsiderate with not wanting to mention at all Gary's ex-wife or late wife, or have anybody acknowledge that she existed. Like, they are going to need to mourn her still. That is Juice's mom. She tells Juice that she's nicknamed after O.J. Simpson, which is not why her mom did it. But, like, you are so heartless to hurt that little girl like that.
That just shows her naivete and her immaturity. She obviously wasn't ready to be a mom.
She was selfish.
Obviously.
She was selfish.
She was not ready to be a mom.
No. All right. As the story progresses, Lila asks Phoebe to be her maid of honor. Weird choice for the random suicidal woman you just met, but okay. Phoebe agrees and begins a to-do list of things, including finishing the bachelorette party scheduling, taking Juice to buy new shoes, taking Gary to get a haircut and pick up his tux, and finding a new vintage car after Lila's literally gets fucked. Like a man stuck his dick in the tailpipe of the vintage car.
And
it got fucked.
Why?
I don't know.
If your partner does this, talk to us. Send us an email. We have questions.
Was there a task you found particularly interesting or absurd? And why do you think Phoebe agrees to do these things?
I think Phoebe agreed to do it because she had nothing else to do. That's what it is. I think Phoebe just started going through the motions and was like, well, I'm here now. Might as well do this. The one I thought was weird was the surfing.
Like, I actually have a question about that. Later on.
Okay, we'll talk. Okay, we'll talk about it then. But the surfing was weird for me. I don't know.
Let's just talk about it now, because I agree. Yeah. I don't feel like it was her place to do any of those things. Like, why did she take Juice to get shoes? Like, anyone thought that was a good idea to send the random stranger who's suicidal with the 12-year-old to pick up new shoes? Like, that's not a good idea. But then she sends her
taking a stranger taking my child shopping for my wedding.
No.
Feels no.
That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
I don't trust people that much.
And then the day after the bachelorette party, Lila decides she's not going to go surfing with Gary and Juice. And because she paid for three people, she just sends Phoebe. And like, that is the only activity that Juice wanted to do. It's the only one. It's the only one.
Go fake it. You have to be her mom soon. Go fucking fake it.
That is awful. Phoebe had no right to go. Like, even though Lila told her to, Phoebe should not have done it. Like, I know that she had feelings for Gary, but she was falling in love with him.
And Phoebe's sitting there fantasizing about being fucking her stepmom. And it's just, it's not a good place for her either.
It was so inappropriate. It was so inappropriate. All of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I mean, I feel like a lot of times this happens in weddings, right? If you're the maid of honor or you're a bridesmaid, you kind of just have to do whatever the bride says. And I mean, I have had to do whatever the bride says before. But at some point, I feel like Phoebe is a grown-ass adult. Like, she's 20 years older than Lila. She's older than Gary, because Gary is like, what, 12 years older than Lila? So
yeah,
she's older than Gary, too.
He's in his 40s and she's in her 20s.
Right. And Phoebe's in her 50s.
Phoebe's in her 40s.
Phoebe's in her 40s. Her okay. Late, so Gary's in his 30s.
Oh, no. Gary's in his 40s, too. Gary was in his 40s, too, because she kept complaining he was gray and stuff. And they talked about the age gap.
I know, but I thought she was 12. It doesn't matter. The math is there somewhere. Who knows? But, like, she's actually closer in age to Lila's mom than she is to Lila. And I don't know. It just...
Yes.
I would not, as a grown adult, show up and be like, yeah, sure, I'll do all these things. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. You don't want me to be your maid of honor? That's fine, because I didn't come here for that. I came here to die. So
yeah.
We're not doing that.
All of this is like a weird, strange domino effect of like, mm-hmm. Oh, well, I can't do this. I'm going to do this. I can't do this. I'm going to do this. It's just weird, man. Mm-hmm. It's just weird.
It's still Phoebe being a bit of a pushover and just doing whatever. Like, I feel like, I think this is actually a part of this book, or maybe I just made this up. No, but I think this is a part of the book. You know those like wave pools where like the waves keep coming, right?
Yeah.
Like Phoebe is on a floaty in the wave pool, and whatever wave comes is the wave that she'll follow. She just does it.
She's on the lazy river. She's just bobbing around, and she gets to the high current side, and she holds on, and then she goes back through the low current. And then
she needs to actually stand the fuck up, get out of the water, and make some decisions for herself.
And I think that's what the end of this book is.
Yeah, but I still didn't feel satisfied with it. All right, so after the bachelorette party, Lila confesses that she doesn't think she should marry Gary. No shit.
No.
That she is doing it because her father died, and it was his dying wish to see her married. She also tells Phoebe that she has a physical attraction to Jim, who is the best man. Later, Gary confesses that he may have feelings for Phoebe. Also, at some point, this is a question later, but Jim also confesses that he has feelings for Lila.
Lila.
Did you think these two would follow through with the wedding after that?
No. No. I did. That this wedding was.
I did.
I never thought these two were getting married, and I never thought that from the minute I heard this woman talk about her this man, I thought he was going to dump her.
Well,
I really did.
At one point, she's like, "My friends keep talking about how great he is and how attractive he is and how wonderful he is, and I mean, he's just Gary." No, if people tell you how hot your man is, like. Listen, I will tell you, my man is hot. That is biblical, ladies, by the way. It is in Song of Songs. You can see, like, there's the woman, the bride in there is like, I'm definitely paraphrasing. Ladies of Zion, come check out my hot-ass man over here. I'm going to tell you, my man is a hot-ass man. That is not what she does. That is the love you should have for your partner.
You should always want your partner.
Yeah. I want my partner. We have different bodies now than we had when we met. Like, Tom was active duty. He didn't have a beard. He didn't have his dad bod. He was I was much lighter. And same. We still want each other.
Because you grow together. You age together. You want somebody that you want.
But also because he has a really nice ass.
You know, I'm happy for you on that one. I was trying to be nice, but hey, enjoy your husband's booty.
He's got a nice ass.
I'm happy for you, love.
Me too. Me too. Whew. All right. I still thought they would get married. I thought they would get married and we would get this. If we got a vision from Phoebe at the end, it would be of them getting divorced, being very unhappy, there being affairs. And all of that. Yeah. And I'm glad that's not what happened, but I still don't feel satisfied with the ending.
I don't either. But I also don't know how else I would end it. You know?
Yeah. All right. After the rehearsal dinner, Matt shows up at the hotel looking for Phoebe. Gary leaves her room after hearing that Matt is her husband, not ex-husband, husband.
Husband.
Even though he is no longer her husband. Phoebe and Matt spend the night together. They have sex. But Phoebe tells him she cannot return to him with him, even though he has confessed he is still in love with her and that Mia was a mistake. Were you surprised that Phoebe chose to stay?
Okay. How fucking dare you?
The audacity. How fucking
dare you, Phoebe? First and foremost, you know what it's like to be cheated on. So why sleep with a man you know is with somebody else?
Because she still viewed him as her husband.
She says that. I don't fucking care.
I mean, I agree. I had the same thoughts. I was like, but he's with Mia now, so you're now the other woman. He's
been with Mia.
Yeah, for 2 years.
And, okay, the audacity of a mediocre white man. Man, come on. Matt just showing up thinking he can just be like, you know what? I'm so sorry. The life with Mia isn't the life I thought it was going to be. Let's go back to our life. I tried that one out. I don't like it. I don't like those shoes. Can you just give me back my old shoes?
And he basically admits to her that it was Mia having a baby that made him attracted to her.
Which we all knew that.
Which is disgusting.
He's disgusting.
Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised that Phoebe fucked him. I don't think she should have, but I'm not surprised she did. I'm also not surprised that she was like, I'm not going back with you. That is not the life I want anymore. I just, like, I want to follow up on what happens with Matt, because, like, when he comes back, at the beginning of the book, when Phoebe confronts Mia, this is, like, before she goes to the Cornwall, Mia said, Phoebe refers to Matt as her husband, and Mia's like, he's not your husband anymore. And your marriage was over before we even slept together. That kind of woman is the kind of woman that I want to fucking punch in the face, knock her on the ground, beat her head into the floor. Because that is not a real one there.
That's not a girl's girl.
No.
If
that's a bitch that needs to be cut.
There are two types of cheaters in this world when it comes to women. Women that know they're actively participating in a cheating relationship. Then there are the women that are duped into cheating relationships. Now, the women that are duped in cheating relationships break into their own categories, and I don't have time to break that down for you. But what I'm going to say, friends, is the first woman, she's always going to think she's the better. She's always going to know that
he picked me.
And that's their mindset for the rest of their lives. He picked me.
She had an affair on her husband shortly after having their child.
And he committed suicide.
No, he attempted suicide. Attempted. Yeah.
Yeah.
He had...
Still suicide.
All right. Two more questions. I know we're running long. On the wedding day, everything seems to be going according to plan until Lila sees the replacement car she has been given. The car is not a vintage one like she planned. At this point, Lila begins to spiral and confess that she does not want to marry Gary. Phoebe convinces her that it's okay to walk away, and she actually gives her the speech that she had planned for the rehearsal dinner. I think I skipped a question, but it doesn't matter. I want to read that speech.
Yeah, please.
This is what she says. Every wedding, even a successful wedding, is a waste, Phoebe says. Every wedding is an egregious amount of money that could have, yes, been spent on much more practical things, like, say, a house, a down payment, a school in a small dying mill town. A wedding is always a fleeting spectacle that is 100% going to be compacted down into a teeny tiny garbage square that'll wind up in your father's landfill someday, because Lila's dad was a trash king.
The king of trash.
Yeah. None of this is very comforting so far, Lila says. So Phoebe jumps to the final line. But it's also true that this wedding will never be a waste, Phoebe says, because I came here to die, and now look at me. Lila, every day this week, you gave me a reason to get up in the morning, to put on a beautiful dress, and be part of something. And for that, I will always be grateful. Was that a worthy conclusion to Lila's story?
Honestly, Lila needed to hear that. Because Lila and her family, no matter her choices, she's made like a villain. So Lila needed to hear she wasn't the bad guy. And when she started making choices for herself and not thinking about what was expected of her and what the world expected of her, Lila opened up and realized who she was. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was in that moment as she's crying about the car that's just a plain black car and how she's in a wedding dress.
It's an Uber black!
And she doesn't want to marry Gary, and it's all these things. And it's just, she needed that moment. She needed it.
I think it was a good conclusion for her relationship with Phoebe. Although I do wonder if the vision that Phoebe has for the future, which is going to be my next question, so I'll hold off on saying all of it. But I wonder if that vision comes true, if they'll still be in each other's lives. Because going back to a question I actually skipped, Lila has feelings for, or at least an attraction to Jim. Jim mm-hmm. is basically in love with Lila. And I kind of wonder if they would get together. I don't know how Gary would feel about that, being the fact that that's his best friend and his ex-fiance.
I don't know. Gary had some heavy feelings for Phoebe while he was still getting married. So
yeah,
I really think I really think that's like pot calling the kettle black if he bitches mm-hmm. about that in that moment, you know? Yeah. I think Gary needs to get through his shit, though. Gary never processed his wife's divorce.
Death.
Why did I say divorce?
I don't know. Gary doesn't get divorced. His wife dies of cancer.
Right.
All right. So we do get more of a conclusion when Phoebe finds Gary at the very end. And like you said, it's a full circle. They're back at the hot tub. She has decided to take the job of caring for the Victoria Mansion in Rhode Island. We get a glimpse of what Phoebe sees as their future, which is for her and Gary and Lila getting married and having kids. Like, that's the mm-hmm. future she predicts for her. She predicts that she and Gary will be together and raising Juice together. So do you think that will happen? And did you find that to be satisfying?
I don't know what's going to happen with these people. Mm-hmm. I think it's just her fantasy. And I kind of think that's how we're supposed to. I want that to end that way. I want to end in her fantasy. I don't want to see real life for these people. I don't think we're supposed to, because they need to save the wedding people. That's the whole point of this fucking book, is that they are just wedding people.
Yeah.
And even if they're never in her life again, she will have them as the wedding people. And I think that's the whole point of this.
I mean, most of the book, she refers to them as the bride, the groom, the wedding people, the brother-in-law.
Right, because she's trying to keep this distance, right? Yeah,
because she's not part of it. And as the book goes on, you can see her using names more. But for me, this was unsatisfactory, and here's why. It actually goes back to the beginning about Phoebe coming there to kill herself. I'm very glad that she decided not to do it. I'm very glad that she spent those 6 days healing herself. Mm-hmm. I do not like that she healed herself because there was another man.
Yeah.
Like, you need to heal yourself so you are whole for you. And then you can move on.
Yeah.
I know that she had been out of her marriage for like 2 years, but she was not whole yet. And Gary's not whole either. Like, neither one of them are. So they needed
none of them were in a place to start massive relationships. No. None of them.
Gary reminds me, and I don't really like this movie, but he reminds me of the wedding planner, Matthew McConaughey's character in there, where he's just like, we don't really want to do this. Like, we're doing this because it's expected of us.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what Gary reminds me of. I just don't feel like... I don't feel like the ending was satisfactory. Like, to me, I read this whole book and I feel heavy and unfulfilled.
And I think that's the point.
It is absolutely the point, but that doesn't mean I have to be happy about it.
That's the point. Like, Gary going through the motions and Lila being this perfect bride. Like, nobody wanted to be what they were. Mm-hmm. And at the end of it, they might. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
And I wouldn't be...
that sucks. But also, I don't need to know. I'm kind of good at where it was.
I wouldn't be surprised if after Phoebe got back from Colorado with her stuff and moved to the Victoria Mansion, that she and Gary, you know, got together and dated or slept together. But I don't think that that's her permanent future.
I honestly, she may get back and see that place in a different light. You know what I mean?
Right. Because it's not full of wedding people anymore.
Right. She may get back and she may realize that, like, oh, this place isn't as fun as it was when it's with summer.
And you know what I mean? Yeah. Hmm. It's like looking at it with the rose colored glasses of the wedding. And I mean, that happens a lot. And I feel like the author is doing that in this book where she shows you the very end. Everyone's checking out because there's a new wedding that's checking in, it's right? So they're no longer the wedding people anymore. You know, it's now somebody else's story. And I don't know. I mean, maybe the dissatisfaction that I have with it was actually the correct the way point. To end it, but it doesn't make me feel any better about it.
And this is where the book gives me White Lotus vibes.
I've never seen White Lotus. So is that on HBO?
It is.
Well, maybe I should actually, you know, log into an account and
you have to watch The Pit first because I am going through it with that show and I need to talk about it. And I'm stabbing this table because I'm so upset. That show is really fucking with me right now and I need to talk about it with somebody.
Listen, I want to watch it, but do you know that how long it's been since I've actually watched TV that was new? The only thing new that I keep up on is Abbott Elementary, and yeah. I watched The Rookie with Tom, which is a terrible show. Like, it's really bad.
I love The Rookie.
It's Nathan so Fillion's bad.
Adorable.
Nathan that Fillion's so he adorable. Is, but cops do not fire their guns as much as they do in the show. Every single episode,
oh my god,
he's drawing his gun.
No. Oh, and like they're like, I'm
over the top and ridiculous.
It is. Like, how many times they go undercover as street patrol officers? Give me a fucking break. But you know what? Happening. It's a long-running Nathan Fillion show. It's the longest-running Nathan Fillion show we've ever had. Wait.
Nuh-uh.
How long was Castle?
Castle.
I was going to say, how long was Castle? Or Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place?
Never saw it. I also didn't know he was in that. Is that with... Was Ryan Reynolds in that show, too?
Yes! Ryan Reynolds, what's-her-face from Dharma and Greg? Oh my gosh. I'll put the IMDb in the things for you guys.
All right, cool. That's all I've got. Do we want to talk about what we're doing next week?
Please.
All right, next week we are reading this book, The God of the Woods by Liz Moore. Mm-hmm. This is a library copy. Support local libraries, especially now. Contact your local congressman. You can find more about it. I'll put this below, but you can contact them by using the American Library Association's links. I'll put it back here. But we're going to read this book, The God of the Woods by Liz Moore. This is another one that like has a long holds list at my library, but I was able to get it. And I did read it as an audiobook. And the narrator is very slow. I had to kick that bad boy up.
Fuck.
Right from jump.
I'm starting it tomorrow.
My audiobook speed is usually 1.2. Like, that's where I'm comfortable. I'm a fast talker myself, so 1.2 is, like, good for me.
I had
this one at a 1.5 from the beginning. Like, wow. It is so slow.
The only time I've ever... I need to stick at the original speed because of the ADHD. Mm-hmm. I have to re-listen to stuff sometimes because the brain, like, turns...
You are going to need to kick it up for this one. She is slow.
Ministry of Time, I went up to 1.2 for the first time ever.
I read that one at a 1.5 too, I think.
It was... Needed it.
That's it. That's it. That's what we've got. All right. Well, I guess we'll see you guys next week.
Bye!
Thank you for joining us on Book Besties. Don't forget to like and subscribe. The views discussed here are those of April and Molly, not those of anyone else. Today's book was The Wedding People by Allison Aspach. Your Book Besties are Molly Biggs and April Watkins, editing by Thomas Watkins, and music is Sleep Sweetly by Prigida. Don't forget to follow the Book Besties on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. If you'd like to contact the Book Besties, please email us at bookbestiespod@gmail.com or visit our website, bookbestiespodcast.com. You can support the Book Besties by joining our Patreon at Book Besties Podcast. Until next time, besties, get lost in your favorite book.